G'day runners, welcome to episode 5 of the Trail Runners Experience. On today's episode, I'll be talking with Jennifer Carroll, physiotherapist, trail runner, personal trainer, and all-round awesome person. We'll be talking about Jennifer's amazing experience in the trail running community and how she recovered from an incredible injury. So sit back, or even better, put your running shoes on and let's go. All right, Jenny, how are you?
I'm in a pretty good mood. Ran a flat run, so that was a bit exciting.
Yeah, no hills today.
No hills. I think it was a 2 meter hill that I got.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. But you can run faster.
Yeah, I'm now a flat runner.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's your one flat run for the year?
Yeah, that's my one flat run for the year.
Time to head for the hills again.
Yeah, you got it.
I hear you. No, thanks for coming and having a chat with me. I appreciate it a lot. So I thought I'd like to find a little bit about yourself and where you came from and how you became the runner that you are. So tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do.
Oh, God.
So what do you do for work at the moment?
At the moment, a bit of a fine balance, sort of doing everything. So doing physiotherapy, group fitness training, administration, Pilates teaching. Just exploring, I guess, trying to find my niche in the world.
Yeah.
I love it all.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff to do with the human body.
I could not actually use the right words to tell you how fascinated I am with the human body and the potential that everyone has. I think probably what I find the most interesting is when people actually start discovering what they are actually capable of. When you see those people that are in a wheelchair and all of a sudden they start realizing that they don't need to be in a wheelchair again, the capacity of the mind and the body, it blows me away.
Yeah. And so I imagine that kind of thinking is probably what drew you to a sport like ultra running and trail running.
The epitome of exploring the mind and exploring the body and what humans can actually be capable of.
Yeah. Absolutely. No. I quite often find myself asking the question of why I'm doing this. I mean, on good days and bad days, I do ask myself, why am I running through the rain, in the wilds of the hills, or in the heat? You know, why am I putting myself into a discomfort, you know? And I think that's a common thought. But then I think it's part of the human condition. So I don't know if you agree with that.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I think everybody to a certain extent has this slight dissatisfaction because we all know that we are capable of more. It's like this internal drive. We just know that there's something more in us. And unless you're actually striving to reach that potential, there's that little niggling, just that little niggle of, I don't know, dissatisfaction.
Yeah. And do you think ultra running and trail running sort of quenches that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that humans are born to run. It's how we survived as a species. We're a pack animal. We hunt in packs. We're not fast. Our way of actually eating and getting our prey is we actually slowly follow it until the actual prey dies of exhaustion.
That's right, yeah. I think I've read, obviously, that famous book, that Born to Run book.
Yes.
Yeah, they talked a lot about that. That Christopher McDougall, is it Christopher McDougall?
Yes, yeah. That's the one.
And, it's fascinating. They call it persistence hunting.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I'd have to give it a crack one day. Yeah. I do see plenty of kangaroos out there. I've never tried to chase one, you know.
Let me know when you're next free. We'll see how it works out for us.
Yeah, they're pretty fast on the uphills. They've got some big quads, those roos.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
I think one thing missing in that book, though, and this is very personal, but I think one thing missing in that book is it glorifies running a lot. And I think sometimes we need to actually realize that not all runs feel good. You know, even though maybe we are naturally born to run and it is a survival mechanism, you're going to have your days where the body hurts. It's you know, it's a lot of discipline that goes into running, not just the natural happy feel.
Yeah, true. And it's funny with an increased knowledge of how the human body works, we figure out how to make this machine of ours work better. That's how, I mean, I look at my body and the human body as a machine that can be fixed, or it can also be broken, you know, and then fixed again, you know. So, I mean, anytime someone comes to me with an injury and I go, okay, we can get to the bottom of it, because you can figure out what the problem is,
yes,
you know. And so, you know, but a lot of people come and say, oh, I can't run because, you know, I've got bad knees. It's probably just because you're weak, you know, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It means you just got to build up strength in those areas that are weak.
Exactly.
And that's, I guess, being a physiotherapist as well, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's sort of the area that you kind of work in, isn't it? And doing a lot of strength stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
My number one key to getting success with clients, though, is they have to be willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
You know, you can have all the money in the world and all the expertise, but if you don't get down and do your simple basic rehab exercises, you're never going to develop.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of the key frustrations I find, is actually getting people to do the small, boring rehab stuff. It doesn't glorify you and you don't get instant gratification, but you've got to do the small rehab to get to the bigger goal.
Yeah.
Like anything in life, I guess.
Absolutely. No, that's fascinating. So that actually brings me quite nicely to the next question I was going to ask you. So you've come from a lifetime of sort of training and fitness and running, and you were quite a, when you were way back in, not year old, you're younger than me, but you were quite an accomplished runner and marathon runner and ultra runner back in your early 20s even.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so just tell us a little bit about your running in your early 20s and coming up.
Yeah, well, okay. Grandma Jenny speaks about back in the day when we started running.
Grandma.
I hated running when I first started running. I was your typical unpopular, overweight high school person. I lived on the computer and Maggi noodles, and I ballooned out.
Carbs.
Yeah, I loved my noodles. I didn't have any friends. I had really bad social anxiety. They tried doing everything with me, dance, drama, trying to bring me out of my shell, and I was just a really shy kid. And then because of my weight, we tried exercising, and I started to try to run. And I still, to this day, remember my first run. I cried the entire time. I got a personal trainer and they started teaching me about exercise, and I got a little bit fitter, started to lose the weight, got a little bit more confidence. And then I joined this group on a Tuesday. It was, they weren't Trail Running SA, I think it was Road Runners back then. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, who wakes up at that time? But we started running, and I had no idea where I was. I was somewhere in Norwood and I was going to be late for work, and I couldn't run anymore. I ran for about 10 minutes and died. And then someone came up to me. His name was Doug. And he said, oh, you know, I'll help you find your way back to your car. And I ran with him, and I just thought he was God. I thought he was legendary. Apparently he ran 24 kilometers, this massive distance. So I ran back with him, and then I kept going every Tuesday. Slowly came out of my shell and started running, and every time I run, I felt better. I got friends, my anxiety started to settle, and I guess the mark just got bigger and bigger. You know, it's your first 5 kilometer race, and then it was your first city to bay. My God, when you first do your city to bay, I think I was just the proudest person in the world. And then once you do city to bay, there's always something more. There's always a new milestone, I guess, and you just go chasing it. And then my cousin dared me to do 100 kilometers with her one day, and
it's a step up from a 12 kilometer road run to a 100 k's.
It was, and I went and bought my little Kmart shoes, my little bum bag, and I bought the shoes a week before the actual 100 k. We've learned since then you don't do that. And pulled out at 64 kilometers because of blisters. And then went back the next year and just kept going.
Oh, wow.
So that was sort of how I got into it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just next, I guess. What's the next thing?
There's always the next thing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's one of the things, it's the human experience, definitely. You know,
yeah.
always looking for more.
Yeah.
You know, some people are looking for more money. Other people are looking for more challenges, you know. Yeah, it's amazing. And so you were running quite well, and then you had a... And then so something happened in your late 20s, something that wasn't so good.
Yeah, well, I was kind of at the peak of my running career, and I had quite a few coaches that were interested in me, and sort of we were aiming for the Commonwealth and the Rio 2016 Olympics for the marathon. Then I started getting really bad breathing difficulties. I still remember just going up this hill and feeling really dizzy and thought something's not quite right here. Went to the doctors, and the doctors said, you know, we think you might have anxiety, because at the time I was doing physio and there was a lot of exams. So we started going down the line of anxiety because I had a past with it. And it never started getting better. And no one in their right mind, you know, in your late 20s, they don't think, you know, medically there's too much wrong with you.
Exactly. You're invincible in your
20s. Yeah, I was invincible, believe me. I had a very nicely big ego back then. I was fit.
yeah.
In the end, one day I just woke up, couldn't breathe, went to the doctors, and they said, we're calling an ambulance. We think you might be having a heart attack. And that was it. In the ambulance, had a pulmonary embolism, a clot in the left lung.
Wow.
And it's just been a recovery process since then.
Yeah. And so that was how many years ago?
That was just before my 30th birthday, and I'm 33 now, so it was 3 years ago.
So that was, that must have been a huge, I mean, aside from the physical aspect of it, but just the mental aspect as well.
Yes. I can understand now why famous footballers and famous athletes get such bad depression when they can't compete in their sport, because when you're waking up every day with a purpose of training and your whole entire week is scheduled with training, you know who you are, all your friends, all your associates are related to your goal and where you're going. And suddenly, when you get that taken away from you, you no longer know who you are.
Yeah.
And you've got all this time in the week that you are unprepared for. It does. It gets to you, because, you know, your sport becomes your worth in a way.
Yeah.
It was tough mentally and physically getting back from that.
And so, if you don't mind me sort of delving a bit more into that,
no,
that dark period, because I know you're in a much better place now in your life. And so... I think what your story is inspiring, because I know a lot of your story through Facebook, because you are very open about that, and I think that's a great thing, because it is inspiring. But it's also, you know, you do sort of put yourself out there, and I think it's great. I'm a great believer in that. You own it. And so you had to come back from, so you were hospitalized obviously for a period of time, and then you sort of, how long were you sort of in a when did you start running again? When did you start getting to a point where you could start to come out of the physical and mental aspect?
In all honesty, I had to break. You know, I was talking to Hayley Teal yesterday actually, and my biggest struggle was I kept trying to fight. I kept trying to fight it and live in denial that it had happened to me. And I thought, you know, if I just ignore it and I just keep continuing trying to get back to who I was before the pulmonary embolism, everything will be okay. And that was the worst mistake I actually made, because I just couldn't get better. I just kept trying to peak and go back to what I was like. And mentally it crushed me, because every time I went out to run, I hated the run, because I'm thinking, okay, before the pulmonary embolism, I was running 4 minute kilometers, and now I'm running 7 minute.
Yeah.
And so in the end, because I wasn't good and I wasn't enjoying it, running became my enemy.
And it's the very thing that can help you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like your spiral. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. Really, I had to change my entire relationship with running again. And I also had to stop running. I had to just completely stop the pushing and give my time to relax and have that break. And I think that took me probably a year to recover physically, but another good 2 years to recover mentally from it.
Yeah, wow.
And it honestly was. One day I just, I took 6 months off from everything, from the physio, from absolutely everything, and just relaxed, became Amish for quite a while.
Right.
And one day I just woke up and thought, okay, I'm ready to go back to being Jenny now. I'm ready to go back to running. I ran 2.5 kilometres, died.
Yep.
I was puffing and I had that metallic taste in your mouth, you know, when you first start running.
Yeah, like it's blood or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought, oh my goodness me. I used to be like such a good 100-kilometre runner, and here I am at 2.5 kilometres, completely done for.
However, surely that must have felt like a small victory though, in some ways. Not really?
No. This was a long process because I had come so far in my running career. I'd had those victories. So going back, you don't have that same kind of mentality. When you first start running, everything's a victory because you've never been there before. You've never done it. It's all a new feeling, that first 5K, that first 12K. But when you've hit your max and then you stop and you try and go back, it's not the same.
Yeah. It's like you've gone all the way back to the starting line. And then another 100Ks behind the starting line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because I've had the same coach throughout the whole thing. He's sort of seen my mental battle with running. And I approached him and I said, look, this is ridiculous. I'm at the back of the pack. I'm at the back of the running pack. I don't belong here. And he actually said to me, Jenny, I'm not going to train you until you actually... you write back to me and say that you want to run because you enjoy it, not because you want to win, not because you have a goal to do anything. I just want you to go out there and get your relationship back with running again.
That's key. What a good coach.
Oh god, yeah. And I'm so glad he did that. So I had to turn off the Strava, I had to turn off the Garmin apps, I had to do all that, and just go out into nature and rekindle that love again.
It's interesting you say about turning off Strava and all that. I'm a huge believer in turning those devices off when we're running. I mean, the data that we get from Strava and all these fancy watches is fantastic, and it is very motivating, but I do think that it can become a burden. And I have a confession to make. I've been running for 25 years competitively, and it's only in the couple months ago I got my first proper watch. I've been running with a $10 Kmart watch for years and years, and I've done lots of ultras and stuff, you know, and I know a few other ultra runners that have used the same approach, because I mean I have always believed that, you know, your legs know if you've done the workout, you know, your heart knows, you know, and your mind knows if you've done the workout. But in saying that, I cut you out, but I totally understand that. And did it help though?
It did. That was the big thing, was you know, sometimes you can get so caught up in the times and you know, the races and racing towards your race, you actually forget why you started. Like, I need to look back and go, hang on a minute. Running stopped me from being that anxious little kid who didn't have any friends. You know, running got me out of my shell. It cured my anxiety. It has done so much for my mental health. It's more than just a certain time for a certain race.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. It's my medication.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a wonderful drug.
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah. And so where are you now, running-wise?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm in a very good place.
Yeah.
I sort of, I stay very quiet about my running these days though. So that's changed since the pulmonary embolism. I used to be a little bit of a show pony. I think that's a bit to do with youth as well. that goes quite fast.
Yeah.
When I race now, I purposely start at the back of the pack. I chat, And if things get a little bit too much for me, I start pushing, I put my music on. And there's no doubt in my mind that I will get back to being competitive. But at the moment, I don't think I'm ready. I think I still have a journey with my running to go where I'm getting back to doing it for the reasons why I run.
Yeah.
And that's because I love it. And I find myself in ultras. That sounds really peculiar, you know, like who on their right mind finds themselves in an ultra. But I feel like the real Jenny when I'm in those situations. I discover who I am. You know, because everything gets taken away from you on the ultras. You're basically at your raw self.
Strips away the ego, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I need that taken away from me to realise who I am. And when you're out there, you know, it doesn't matter your job, how much money you have, or, you know, how many friends you've got on Facebook. You really are at your true self.
Yeah, no, it's such, so true. And I think, yeah, you've got right to the core of what it means to be an ultra runner. You know, that, and it's not the beginning of an ultra. It's not the end of an ultra. For me, and I don't know if you can relate to this, it's that period where you're not sure if you can make it.
Yes.
You know, that bit when you're in the hole. You know, in everyone goes, I mean, not every race is bad, but even in good races, quite often I'll go through that low patch. And when you're in that low patch, that's when you really know who you are, hey?
It is.
You know, and because you have to find that ability to get out of it.
Oh, God, yeah. And, you know, that mentality applies to every single aspect of our life. I mean, what happens to you in the ultra happens to you in life. You know, no one has a cruisy life. Some people say they do, but honestly, we all go through bad patches. And if you can train your mind to realize that if you push through, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You put that into anything.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I could not agree more. So yeah, that's such an inspiring story. I think, you know, you've come from, it's the rise and fall and rise again of Jennifer Carroll.
Yeah.
No, that's great. And so, what's your next running goal? Where are you headed to from in the next 12 months?
Well, short-term goal is New Zealand, Taupo, and that's October.
Taupo,
yes.
On the North Island, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to be doing that with my partner, so that's our first time travelling together.
Oh, cool.
It'll be his first 50 and my return 100 kilometre, so it'll be my first 100 kilometre since the pulmonary embolism.
Yeah.
Long-term goal, it's been my goal since I was 25, but that's to do UTMB. I did want to do...
UTMB. Yeah. So it's basically Ultra Trail Mount Blanc. Mont Blanc. I'm not very good at pronunciation.
No, me either. but I wanted to do Death Valley, just because it's the hardest race in the world. And
the Bad Water.
Yeah. But I don't think you can do it anymore. I don't know if they still do it.
I do know that they changed it quite significantly, and they took a lot of the elements of danger out of it, which is sort of why we do these things. So, you know, so you the UTMB, so are you attempting to qualify for that?
Yeah, which is the race I'm doing this year is a qualifier race, and also a few of the races that I've got teed up are.
Yeah.
So that'll be the big goal, but people say, you know, why that race in particular? Really, it's a stepping stone to doing crazier stuff. And I don't think I'll be satisfied until I've just pushed every single boundary of human performance. It's who I am, and it's a journey. It's an exciting journey.
Yeah, it's great. And I'll tell you one thing, like, you said you're 33 and you've already experienced a significant amount, and I mean, I'm not a lot older, I'm almost 39, but one of the things I do know in the sport, 33 is still really young, you know. You've still got, you've still got some fantastic years of running ahead of you. And I would venture to say your best years of running are probably still in front of you. And so, if any athlete came to me and said, "Oh, I'm 33, I'm too old," I'd say, "Wake up to yourself."
Yes.
No, so that's great. You know, I think that with the trail running has become so popular now, you know, like, it's just so, even just from 5 years ago, just in Adelaide, there's so many more races now. there's no shortage of exciting adventures out there. There's cruel and unusual race directors that are coming up with these amazing races, you know, so it's really awesome. So I am also looking for more, and I think, like we said before, you know, it's looking for that, for something more in life, you know. Yeah. So that's great. Yeah, even just here in South Australia, I think that you won't find a shortage of runs. You could end up doing like the Barclay marathons over in
I've heard of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the documentary?
I have. Yeah. It's the director, he's an interesting character.
I know. I know. It's weird. I personally, I have no interest in doing that race, but I do find it fascinating for the people who try and do it. And you know, and I say try because most people don't finish. you know, but there's still a woman has not completed that race yet. So there's still,
now you tell me that.
I know. The challenge is there. Yeah. Well, when I spoke to Lucy Bartholomew, she I asked her about that race and she has no desire to do it.
So, interesting.
Yeah, she said it's not her cup of tea, and she said she gets lost in the supermarket, and so she would get lost out in the trails. And I think, you know, that's good. I think it does take a special type of mindset to venture into something like that. It's awesome. So well done. Thank you so much for having a chat. And so
it was a good chat. Thank you.
No, I look forward to. We'll have to talk again when you've completed Taupo. I'll get you, and we'll have another chat and see how that all went.
Yeah,
you give us great. The rundown.
We'll do that.
That'll feel like a triumphant return, then, won't it?
Yeah, I'll be able to tell you how the relationship went, our first time traveling and our first ultra together.
New Zealand's a fantastic place. Make sure you do. Have you been before?
No.
So good. I've been several times. Love it. I've never raced over there, but I've traveled and it's just so good. I'm due to go back soon. So, yeah, enjoy.
Thank you.
See you next time. Did you enjoy this episode of the Trail Runners Experience? I really hope you did. I enjoyed making it. If you did enjoy it, please just go right ahead and hit that share button. Tell all your friends. Tell your mum. Thanks a lot, and see you next time on the Trail Runners Experience. This episode of the Trail Runners Experience was brought to you by Roasted On. Aside from being the freshest coffee and granola in Australia, Roasted On has a subscription service. Go to roastedon.com.au and subscribe so that you can make sure you never run out of coffee or granola again. Roasted On. When was yours roasted?